welcome to the Jesus Revealed podcast, and I'm your host, Zintle Mube. We are in day 26. God has really been faithful in walking this journey with us by revealing his son through just the myriad of scriptures and the gospels that we have been walking through. And today is no different. I have with me Dr. Jeremiah Mukho. Welcome, Dr. Jeremiah. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great. So today we are looking at Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, and we are looking at Matthew chapter 12 from verse 1 to 8. And Dr. Jeremiah, if we can just get into it then, we see then Jesus walking through the grain fields with the servant, with his disciples, and this is happening all during the Sabbath. And the disciples are hungry. They pick out some of the heads in the grain field, and obviously they're called out by the Pharisees. And then it brings then a teachable moment or a teaching moment for Jesus to almost again show the hypocrisy of the Pharisees of the time. So with that context and background, Dr. Jeremiah, can you please just walk with us then what we are seeing here and what Jesus is saying to them?
Okay, thank you. It's a good question. What we see here is that the Pharisees, they are interpreting the action of the disciples, against the law, which is the law of Sabbath, and they come up with a judgment to say, this shouldn't be happening in the manner in which they understand the law. But what I like about how Jesus handled them is that he answers them by making reference to the same law, to the scriptures, because then he points them to the time when David, as an example, who at the time when he was running away from Saul and his men, you know, they fell hungry after a couple of days, and they find themselves, you know, at the house of a priest who didn't have anything else to give them. And he only had a holy bread. And according to the law, the holy bread was a sacred type of a food that wouldn't be eaten by anybody except the priest himself. But in that circumstance, in that situation, the priest gave David and his people the holy bread and they ate. And we see that after they ate, there was no any consequences attached to that, to that action. And we know that when it comes to the laws of the temple and the sacrifices and how it needed to be done, there was consequences attached to that if you don't do it the right way. To the extent that the priests themselves, for an example, when they went into the Holy of Holies place, they would have to have the chains attached to them and the bell so that those who are outside, at least they've got comfort to say he's still alive. Because if anything goes wrong, they will have to drag him out with the chain. So Jesus uses that scene or that situation to show them that they are making reference to the law without revelation. Because he's saying, if you had read the scriptures with understanding, you would have realized that God desires mercy over sacrifice. So in other words, there was one mistake that the Pharisees were doing here, is just to interpreting the law without God's revelation.
Thank you for that, Dr. Jeremiah, and for setting that scene. And I think I was going to ask this question at the end, but towards the end. But I think it's very important for us to understand just the concept of revelation, and what that means. Just for the sake of those then that are listening and watching us to have that sense of clarity.
For me, it means you can read the scriptures, but without revelation, it means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. You can't apply it in your day-to-day situations. That is why, for an example, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible makes reference to the fact that we have received the same gospel that the people that were in the wilderness received, but it did not benefit them. The gospel did not benefit them because they were not mixing it with faith. So if you read the Word of God and there is no revelation, the Word of God is meaningless to you. But if you read the Word of God and there is revelation, then that means you are able to understand and you are also able to apply it in your day-to-day life. That is why, for an example, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17, he says he's praying for us that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So in other words, you can have the knowledge of Christ without revelation or wisdom. But he's praying that we have the knowledge of Christ with wisdom and revelation.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Jeremiah. And I think to what you're saying, and I'm just looking at the various aspects within the revelation, it all almost seems to be rooted in the revelation of Jesus in all of that, what you are reading.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have seen even in other parts of the scriptures where, for an example, when he was walking, a blind man who could not even see him physically, but just by hearing and asking people, he had the revelation that the Son of David is happening.
Wow.
But those that had physical eyes that were seeing him physically, they did not see him as the Son of David.
Yeah.
Yet they have been waiting for the Son of David all the years. And he's happening in front of them. They can't see him. And therefore, they couldn't get what the blind man got. He got healing instantly, as an example, because he had the revelation. And it's the same thing that we see here, because he says to them, by the way, the one who's greater than the temple is here, number one. And by the way, number two, the one who is the Lord of Sabbath is here. And this is the very same person that they've been waiting for,
whom
they have read the scriptures. All the prophets were pointing towards him. He's happening. He's talking to them. They can see him physically. They can touch him. They hear him speaking, but they don't get it.
Wow, that's very, very tragic, actually. It's very, very tragic because the people with the foremost knowledge of what's to come and who is supposed to be here and the Messiah are the ones that are the ones that nailed him on the cross, ultimately.
Exactly.
That's and Dr. Jeremiah, I just then want to focus on what you touched on Jesus saying he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And that's significance of that.
Wow, that is big.
Yeah.
That is big because for me, it says he's saying that he is the one who created the Sabbath. If I use the non-biblical terminology, he's saying I'm the boss of Sabbath.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's the boss of Sabbath.
Yeah.
And indeed, when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible clearly indicates and shows that, in fact, the concept of Sabbath didn't start with the law that is given to Moses.
Yeah.
It started with God himself when he was creating the heavens and the earth at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the writer makes reference to say it was written somewhere that after God has completed all his work, he rested on the seventh day.
Yeah.
Which means he was using the concept of the Sabbath, although he had not named it or called it Sabbath, but he rested.
Yes.
And Sabbath, by the way, means rest.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, like I said earlier on, all that was done with a purpose to teach us a spiritual concept. Because again, in the book of Hebrews, the author clearly indicates to say, therefore it means there is still rest for God's people. So when we read that law and the concepts and the principles of Sabbath, we should be asking ourselves to say, what does it mean now?
Yeah.
What does it mean in the new covenant?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Because that means I should be praying and crying out to God to understand where and when should I get to a spiritual rest?
Sure.
Because he says,
yeah,
that is why he's saying, even after so many years that he has spoken about the concept of rest in relation to Joshua taking the Israelites to Canaan, to say, today, by David, when David was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to say, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Yeah.
Because it means there is still rest that God expects us to get into as people who are in the new covenant.
Yeah, amen, amen, Dr. Jeremiah. Now, in all these various facets that we are looking at, especially in the context of this passage, I think there's something to be said, Dr. Jeremiah, around the need of broadly understanding or looking at the law and looking at what was written by the prophets and the scrolls of old in context and in the right context and what it's supposed to point us to. And I think you did touch on this earlier, but I just want us to maybe have that conversation a bit more on, especially now, in how we approach, especially in reading the Old Testament and the lens in which we should look at it.
Yes, okay. I like that question because it has got quite a lot of facets that we can look at it from.
Yeah.
But one way to look at it is to, okay, Jesus said at some point in time that the law and the prophets, they were up to John the Baptist.
Yeah.
So he was like pointing on a timeline of history that the law and the prophets were to the point of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And from John the Baptist onwards, it's the kingdom of God that is being preached and everybody is pressing onto it.
Yes, yes.
But it does not mean that what the law was referring to has been nullified completely. We need to read the laws and everything that happened and what the prophets have said to understand the kingdom of God. In other words, to understand the new covenant.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I always use this example to say, if let's say for an example, we are talking about the concept of circumcision. God would have used the concept of circumcision as part of the law that he gave to Abraham, but to teach us the circumcision of the heart.
Yeah.
Because it would have been very difficult, if not impossible, if he had not introduced the concept in the physical that we could understand and interpret in the physical.
Yes,
and then he comes and he says, get your heart to be circumcised. We wouldn't even understand what circumcision is all about.
But
now that he introduced it first in the physical, when he talks about circumcision of the heart, now it becomes simple to understand, oh, he means our hearts must be different. All right, we must have a sign that differentiates us from everybody.
Yeah.
Because circumcision back then was a sign in the physical that the Jews, the Israelites, his people would have that would make them different from any other person. You understand what I'm saying?
So
that means when we approach or read the scriptures, we need to have that understanding that everything that was said in the scriptures, in the laws, has got reference or is teaching us principles in the spiritual, in the new covenant, just like what I've made an example.
Yeah, and that's really, really important, Dr. Jeremiah, to grab a hold of, because even when you look at the New Testament, and I think it's specifically the book of Luke, where it mentions a portion where Jesus has returned and he's walking with two disciples who don't realize that it is Jesus.
Yes.
And how in his walking, he tells them and teaches them that how everything from the law and the prophets and of Moses and now is talking about him and is pointing to him. And I think that's a very helpful guide in, as you have said, in when you read the Old Testament or when you read the law, when you read the prophets, all of it is pointing.
All of it is pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
All of it is. And in so many times, he did indicate this to the Pharisees to say, Moses was talking about me as an example, but yet you don't even understand me. You don't love me. You don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You are quoting and making reference to the scriptures that talks about Moses. He was talking about me. And I'm here, I'm talking to you. You don't understand.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. And Dr. Jeremiah, as we wrap up then, and looking at this passage, looking at all the things that we have discussed, to those then that are listening to us, those that are watching, what are the key things, just based on what has been said and revealed so far, what would you like someone to walk away with from this?
First and foremost, I think it's to understand that Jesus is the Lord of Sabbath.
Yeah.
Not just the law or the Lord of Sabbath, the law of all the laws that he gave us. All right. But what is more important is that when we read the scriptures, when we read the word of God, we need to seek the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation.
Yeah.
Because without that, the word of God becomes meaningless to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need to understand and pray and seek God to give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Because if the Pharisees had interpreted the law of Sabbath with wisdom and revelation, Jesus Christ said they wouldn't have condemned the actions of the disciples.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think we also need to understand that because God or Jesus is the one who created the law of Sabbath. He's the boss of Sabbath.
Yeah.
Sabbath is not going to control him. He did not create anything to control him.
Yeah.
He is above everything. He is above everything that he has created.
Yeah.
Me and you are part of his creation. So we are therefore subject to him as well.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Jeremiah, this was really, really good. And thank you so much for being here and being a part of this series. So to everyone that has been listening, I pray that it has been a blessing to you. And as you listen to this on our various channels, on Apple and Spotify, or even YouTube, Salem Word of Truth, I just pray that there is that ever more revelation of Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath, and to what Dr. Jeremiah is talking about in saying he is the Lord over all and the Lord over every piece of law that has been written in the books of old, and even looking at the prophets, all pointing towards him. So as he is revealed in these passages, our prayer is that he is revealed in your life. God bless you.